This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Open for Business. I'm on the phone with Sheena Pimentel. She's the head of corporate PR at Forest Interactive. Now, they're a Malaysia-headquartered developer of scalable mobile platforms. They recently celebrated 15 years, a bit of a milestone for them. Homegrown tech company. They've built a workforce of over 250 talents of 30 different nationalities, 17 different offices around the world, something that they should be very proud of. And because of their 15th anniversary, or in conjunction with it, they launched a foundation. And I believe, Sheena, you had an awful lot to do with that, didn't you?
Yes. Thanks for having us, Rich. I'm very happy to be here.
Absolute pleasure. Now, give me a little, before we go on to the foundation, just give me a quick background as and what Forest Interactive actually are.
Okay, I think the main answer that I usually give our clients is that if you receive an OTP on your phone, it could be coming from our platform. So we're mainly focused on telecommunications, but we also have other sister companies focusing on digital marketing, cybersecurity, and even esports.
Interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, 15 years, that's an extended period of time for anybody and for any company. Now, how did this foundation come around? Now, before you answer that, CSR is one of those things where you're a company, there are two sides to this. Some companies come out and they're all in for CSR and they really want to do it. And then you have other companies that say, oh, we've got to do some CSR. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Where do you guys fit in that scale of things?
Oh, definitely on the first one. I think, I can share you a story about our CEO. So when he was growing up, he used to sneak into his uncle's house because he has an IBM computer. And right. He would tinker that one. And then I think that was when he actually saw the power of technology. And today, when we pitch our ideas to him, we always look back to that young Johari Mustafa and think, okay, how can we actually help that Johari to become the next tech CEO? So that's
right.
Basically where it comes from, yeah.
Right, and that's the driving force behind it, is it?
Yes, that is true.
So you're speaking to Johari from 15 years ago, however long it was.
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, so tell me about some of the programs that are currently running, because you've only been up about a month, is that correct, the foundation itself?
Yes, during our 15-year anniversary, we launched our website, forestcares.org. So I guess to fully expound about this, I can tell you about our three main pillars because it serves as our true north. So number one would be the Future Innovators campaign. So that covers game development, animation, digital marketing workshops, and mentorships. A few examples that I can give you would be our partnership with MDEC for the Level Up at Schools program. It's a three-day game development workshop for 13 to 16-year-old. And the first one that we've done was in Kelantan in 2017, which I hold very dear because I just moved in Malaysia then. And that's where, well, the first time I ate nasi kerabu as well. But more than that, it was where it really struck me to see how interested children are in coding. And there's one kid who was very interesting. I would like to share this story. So it was a shooting game, a first-person shooting game that we were creating through Unity. And he actually placed the word SST alongside the blasted meteors because back then that was the topic. So it's interesting how to see them very, you know, aware of the social issues, you know, surrounding the country.
Right. And what's the kind of take-up rate been like? I mean, we talk about kids and video games and coding, and lately they seem to be going hand in hand.
Yeah, for now, since we've been partnering up with MDEC, we've reached a total of around 40,000 students in over 300 schools all around the country.
Wow, 40,000.
Yeah, because it's not just one project. It stems from also from animation. They have a project called Creative at Schools. So that's for animation. And the most special part, I think, that I could remember was when we gave out tablets to those with hearing impairments.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why was that so special, do you think?
Because it's combining the needs of PWDs and also with technology. Because it doesn't mean that, when you're a PWD that you can't do one thing, right? So, I think that really played a big role in how I wanted to reach more people with this foundation.
Now, speaking about reaching more people, one of the big things that you guys have done is you've partnered up with MDEC. And how did that kind of come around? Was that a difficult pitch or was it fairly straightforward?
It would be thanks to our CEO because we are a member of MDEC GAIN. It's called Global Acceleration and Innovation Network. So they fuel high potential Malaysian headquartered tech companies to, you know, to go to the global stage. And in 2016, our CEO was invited to go to Silicon Valley alongside other CEOs. And the following year, we opened an office in the US. And after that, it just kept coming. We've been tapped by MDEC to partner up with game development, with animation, for career fairs. And now we've attracted the attention of big corporations who want to do the same. And we understood that if we truly want this program to be sustainable and to keep on going, then we need an entity separate from the business to just focus on this one.
Right. I mean, this all sounds wonderful, and you must get a real sense of pride as you're seeing this kind of come together and the kind of seeds of your fruition, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's so empowering. Just like in the office, we would just have conversations about, okay, what kind of project or competition should we run for these future innovators? And we're like, how about we ask them to improve the MySajatera app? And we're like, oh yeah, that would be great. So things like that, you know, it's even as an adult, you're like, oh yeah, actually we could make a difference just by doing these workshops, because I always think back to my role models when I was younger. So I went to my mom's office and then somebody was giving a speech about recycling and, you know, like being kind to others. And as a child, it didn't mean much yet. But then now that I grew up, I was like, oh yeah, that person actually made a difference. So if I can be that person to someone, why not?
It's funny you should say that, because there are things that happen in our childhood, you know, positive things, reduce and recycling and all of that kind of stuff. That's, you know, you learn it as a child and you kind of forget about it. And then it becomes part and parcel of who you are without even realizing. Are you seeing that in the kids that you're speaking with as well?
For now, yeah. Okay. It's so funny because every time we go to these schools, we would give them our business cards and then they would reach out to us and they're like, hey, Kaka, what's your Instagram? And we're like, okay. So I give it to them and then I share my, because I'm very heavy on sustainability. So I do, you know, urban gardening, recycling of bottles and all that. And then they would comment and like, oh, how can I start doing this? How can I do my own greenhouse in my home? And it's humbling. And at the same time, sometimes they would also share their own stories and we would comment like, hey, you've come a long way from when we saw you in Pahang. And yeah, it's quite nice.
Let's just rewind a bit, a little. And you were talking about, you know, the projects and the kind of kids' suggestions and things. Now, how difficult really is it, you know, to kind of choose some of these projects? Because you must get kind of a whole bunch of different ideas and many, many different ideas. And I'm sure most of them are really good, but it must be difficult for you to kind of decide or put them into a shortlist, no?
Not really, because we're already in the tech industry. So we understand what's needed. We understand our CEO also sits as one of the council members of the National ICT Association of Malaysia, or PCOM. So he's aware of the needs of the digital economy of Malaysia. So we just pattern all of our projects there. And then, for example, right now, Smart City is big. So we're gearing towards that direction. So we're going for IoT and robotics. So we even bought these small robots that are just drag and drop coding. And we can really find ourselves, okay, if it was fun for adults, how much more for these kids? And then if you give them that foundation, right, soon enough, they already know how it is like to do problem solving. So it's going to be so much easier to develop greater things.
You're already getting me interested. Never mind about the kids.
I'll send you one. Oh yes. My God. It's so easy.
Okay. On that note, let's just take a short break. And I think when we come back, let's talk a little bit about why and how homegrown companies should be contributing to the country's digitalization agenda and things like that. Let's have a quick break. You're tuned in to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9. I'm on the phone with Sheena Pimentel. She's the head of corporate PR over at Forest Interactive. More on that when we come back here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Building First World Malaysians. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business. I'm on the phone with Sheena Pimentel. She's the head of corporate PR at Forest Interactive Foundation. Just before the break, we were talking about how the foundation came to be, the driving force behind it, some of the programs that are currently running. Sheena, I just want to talk about the idea of digitalization. And we're talking nowadays about getting companies that have been around for a little while to become digital. And even nowadays, if you're not digital, you're not anywhere. It's a difficult conversation to have with some companies that have been around for donkey's years and don't want to do anything about it. In your opinion, how and why do you think homegrown companies need to contribute to the country's digitalization agenda and future-looking plans?
Thank you for that question. I keep that in mind every time I talk to, you know, potential sponsors. And I always say that this pandemic has taught us loud and clear that digitalization is the only way to go if you want to build a truly resilient economy. Because right now we have job losses, reduced income, you know, lack of access for social protection. Millions were pushed back into poverty and even inequality with these lockdowns. But countries that enabled digitalization in their, let's say, administrative processes, like how to help companies and citizens receive financial help or assistance, testing, tracing, isolating, distribution of vaccines, even for our day-to-day lifestyle, like how is food delivered to you? How will the business survive with this, with no food traffic? How would you do remote sharing? Everything, it's the entire ecosystem. And not to mention, smart cities, that is where we're going, all of us. So if we don't adapt to that, I don't know how we're going to survive and reach our global goals. So,
It's like the what would have been the future 5 or 6 years has been condensed into a year and a half. And when we're now like realizing all of a sudden that the things that we thought were going to take a while actually don't take all that long as things are put into place, correct?
Yeah, correct. Actually, if they just really take a look at how automation could help change the way they run their businesses or the company towards efficiency and effectiveness, I think it's going to be a no-brainer to just really go for it, you know? But unfortunately, we're still not there yet. But of course, with the pace that Malaysia is going and with the help of the government's, you know, initiatives, I think it's possible.
What do you say to those companies that, you know, try to argue back and say, well, for us going digital, we're not going to be as profitable? You must have a rebuttal for that, surely.
There's always a stereotype when they hear the word foundation or CSR. They always say, charity, orphanage, we need to raise funds, we don't have that capacity. But it's so much more than that. Actually, for Forest Interactive, for example, if you taught all of your employees to recycle, to not waste food when you have meals in the pantry, to value well-being, understanding net zero, or to just try automation just in your lifestyle, start an urban garden to, you know, to not buy food anymore outside. Or just the idea of paying it forward, all of these mindset building initiatives, they're at no cost. Yeah. And as little as it may seem, you know, you don't know, you might have already saved a life by being kind to someone, or you might have saved the seas. You know, we just celebrated World Ocean Day. You might have encouraged your friends and family to start volunteering, or you might have inspired the next head of foundation to start their own social enterprise. And if you multiply that best practice from everyone, then no child will ever be left behind.
And how has this foundation inspired you personally, do you think?
Well, I can ask you to go to my Instagram. I have lots of things that I post there about sustainability and also just the way I live my life, you know, not to waste food and resource and automate as much as I can. Don't stop, you know, stop printing things. There's a lot out there. There are 17 sustainable development goals. So I said, I would like to advise, you know, tech company owners to just really look into what matters to you and your employees. Start from there. It doesn't have, you don't have to hit all SDGs. And then slowly find out how it will impact the entirety of your organization.
Now, one of the big things that we discuss a lot of is not just about sustainability, sustainable goals. It's about education, obviously, and things starting way back there and being built throughout childhood, so that when you do reach adulthood, all of these things are ingrained in you as a person. Has that been something that for you was part and parcel of who you were when you were growing up, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Both my grandparents were teachers, and they always taught me that for any business for your own family to truly be sustainable, you have to give back.
Yeah.
Because the more aware you are of the needs of your community, the more effective it is and happier it is to live a life. So I always stem from that idea. And the same is true for my team. Like every time we find something, even as a business, right? So we'll have a lot of, let's say, freebies, goodie bags. We always think back, like, okay, can we source this out from sustainable vendors?
Right.
Yeah. So that's something that if you instill it to the kids of today, imagine how it could be next time. Like all of us recycling, all of us only sourcing from those that are adhering to SDGs, then we can reach the goals much faster.
Do you? And this is a personal opinion, I guess. Do you think that that kind of ideology has taken too long to come through in education here in Malaysia? And do you think that maybe the Forest Interactive Foundation are helping with that knowledge?
I think there's a lot of NGOs out there who share the same passion as us. But it's just about what kind of specialization you want to target. Target and how fast do you want to achieve that? So why we're building the foundation, because, yeah, we got the attention of these big corporations who want to do the same. But to be able to do that, yeah, we have to have like a proper system, a long-term plan, like not just for 1 year, because right now it's being handled by our corporate PR team who handles media relations, like a lot of other corporate things. But to be able to really focus and, you know, like trace, like what is the impact? Like how did they really take a career in technology? Then maybe it's, well, not maybe, we will definitely reach the goal of, future-proofing our talents here in Malaysia.
I've got one final question for you before I let you go. Where do you hope to see the foundation in a year's time, 5 years' time, 10 years' time?
Oh, I can see the students that we have now paid forward become trainers. And because right now we only have like 3 states to visit every year. If we can visit all, that would be so great. And if I can actually see them like, you know, create apps that make a change in our day-to-day life and maybe even in the global scene. Yeah, then I can sleep peacefully at night.
Wonderful. Sheena, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Rich. Happy to be here.
Okay. I've just been on the phone with Sheena Pimentel. She's the head of corporate PR over at Forest Interactive Foundation. This has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.